For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. Abortion splits the assembly. Coal ash ponds are a step closer to shutting down. And a bill aims to develop the next generation of tech talent in Virginia as early as possible. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, January 18th, 2019.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
In Richmond, abortion continues to carve a deep divide through the General Assembly, as Michael Pope reports.
What kind of restriction should be placed on abortion clinics? Should women be required to have an ultrasound before getting an abortion? These questions have been debated for years here in Richmond, but now the stakes might be higher if a conservative United States Supreme Court erodes the right to an abortion. When State Senator Jennifer Boyce suggested that right should be enshrined in Virginia code, here's how Olivia Gans Turner at the Virginia Society for Human Life responded.
Women like myself deserve answers that respect our lives, our well-being, our security, and that does not include the unregulated opportunities for abortionists to cause harm to our own lives and well-being and our children.
Boyce's bill and two others aimed at protecting reproductive rights were killed on party line votes. That prompted Governor Ralph Northam to make an appearance at the Capitol to say he'll continue to fight against any threat to a woman's right to choose.
We need to get rid of these onerous pieces of legislation, and we also need to make sure that we put in our code that women are the ones that should be having the choice to make regarding their reproductive health care.
All the legislative efforts to protect reproductive rights may be over for now, but later this year, all these lawmakers will be on the campaign trail, and the abortion debate will continue through the November election. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
State regulators have rejected much of Dominion Energy's proposed $6 billion plan to modernize the power grid. The State Corporation Commission yesterday called the proposal incomplete and too expensive. Environmentalists and Attorney General Mark Herring argued that Dominion, Virginia's largest electric utility, hadn't shown that its plan to install smart meters and make other upgrades would help customers. The commission agreed and told Dominion it could refile its plans. The company said it's disappointed with the ruling, but committed to improving the grid. Also in energy news, a bill that would require Dominion to shut down four coal ash ponds throughout Virginia passed its first Senate committee yesterday. From partner station WCVE, here's Roberto Roldan.
The Senate bill, backed by Governor Ralph Northam, would prohibit Dominion from burying the coal ash in place, and it would require them to recycle it or transport it to a landfill. That applies to any site on the Chesapeake Bay watershed, including one in Chesterfield County. Senator Scott Surivel of Fairfax, who's sponsoring the bill, told the Senate Agriculture Committee that doing nothing about the coal ash ponds is no longer an option.
We're not going to solve this problem by leaving it where it is in these leaky ponds. I think it's undisputed that every single one of the four sites is leaking heavy metals into groundwater. They're not all in violation, but they are leaking.
The bill will now head to the Senate Finance Committee, who will work out who will pay for the coal ash removal.
That was WCVE's Roberto Roldan. Former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe has used his old state political action committee to raise big money and cut checks to Democrats in Iowa and New Hampshire as he weighs a presidential run. Campaign finance reports show McAuliffe's PAC raised $300,000 in the second half of 2018 after raising no money in his first 6 months out of office. The PAC's spending included money for staff, travel, and donations to the Democratic parties in Iowa and New Hampshire. Both are early voting states in presidential primaries. Using the PAC to explore a presidential run would be illegal. But McAuliffe spokeswoman Crystal Carson said that the PAC has been used to support candidates and parties who share the former governor's values. Major donors include Black Entertainment Television founder Robert Johnson and tobacco giant Altria. And finally today, a bill to create a competitive fund to help recruit and retain more computer science faculty in Virginia colleges cleared its first legislative hurdle yesterday. But many say building a tech talent pipeline starts much earlier. From partner station WCVE, Megan Pauley reports on increased efforts to boost interest in tech among K-12 students.
The first step is to log into the computers here in this room.
Here at Virginia Commonwealth University, Professor Caroline Budwell is helping students get started with an intro to programming class.
Computer access request form. So you can, the next time you're in lab, log in, okay?
For many of these students, like Brent Dela Cruz Credo, this is their first encounter with tech.
In my high school, it was merely an elective, and you really didn't know about it unless you asked about it.
But other students learned tech fundamentals in high school. Asia Shell says that's how she knew she wanted to pursue computer science as a career in college.
Without those classes, do you think you would be here today?
No.
The same is true for student Jeffrey Dria.
Because I really didn't even know what programming was until I took my first class.
Virginia is facing a shortage of computer science teachers, not only in college, but also at the elementary, junior high, and high school level. Chris Dobey's been working to address that shortage for years. He's executive director of CodeVA, a nonprofit that works to train teachers how to explain tech to their students. Dovey's wife used to teach in Hanover, but now leads CodeVA's training efforts. They've worked with most public school districts in Virginia, and Dovey says they also championed legislation in 2016 requiring tech in K-8 classrooms.
By middle school, the requirement is that you start to transition to a typed language. So a typed language would be an industry language, Java, JavaScript, C++.
The bill also raises standards for tech in high school. Those changes kick in this fall. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam has included $2.7 million in next year's budget for professional development and training to help districts implement the new standards. Meanwhile, colleges like VCU are also trying to help plant a seed in young people's minds that a career in computer science is even an option. Paul Rochelot is a founding trustee for VCU's School of Engineering. Computer science classes are in that department.
So we're spending time with the high schools and the counselors and the science teachers and the technical clubs, going into the middle schools and going into the elementary schools just to build general awareness and give them hands-on experiences.
The state might also get some help from the private sector. Retail giant Amazon has pledged to invest $25 million in local public schools over the next two decades as part of their plans to expand here. But it's unclear how much of that money will be spent to help boost tech in Virginia classrooms. Megan Pauley, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
And I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.